a lot of good things in the book of Galatians. And so Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 15, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. And so I'll give you just a moment to find that, Galatians chapter 2. And we've already said, and it's just by way of introduction, the first two chapters are personal, and the chapters 3 and chapter 4, doctrinal, and chapter 5 and chapter 6, practical things. And so we're going to finish up, Lord willing, tonight, chapter number 2, Galatians chapter 2, and verse number 15. And the Bible said, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And so we'll try to get down through these verses tonight. That's a little hard to read if you've got a Scofield Bible and you're just trying to read all the verses in succession, because he's got the headlines there. So I was looking and trying to find the next verse. But if you don't, you might not know what I'm talking about. But anyway, chapter number 1, chapter number 2, as we said just a moment ago, is personal. And what we mean by that, the Apostle Paul is relating several events in his ministry that pertain to the churches of Galatia. And remember, look back in chapter 1, verse number 2, that's who this epistle is written to. "And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia." And we already know what's happened. We've went over this several times, but the Judaizers, the legalizers, they've come along behind the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They're teaching a false doctrine. They're teaching that you need to follow the law in some form or fashion in order to be saved. And that's nothing new. That still goes on today. People say, "Well, you got to have faith and you got to believe, but you got to do this and you got to do that. You know, you got to." Some people say you got to be baptized. Some say you got to join a certain church. Some say you got to believe, but you got to be a good person. And we do believe in being a good person. We do believe in good works and all of those things. But we're not saved by good works. We're not saved by keeping the law in any way whatsoever. We're saved by grace through faith. And that is the subject of the book of Galatians. Law and grace do not mix together. And the Apostle Paul, we looked at this last week, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, this subject has already been dealt with. And we look back to Acts chapter number 15. That was one of the first major questions in the early church. The people came along, the Judaizers, the legalizers, and they said, you gotta add the law. You gotta add the law back to your salvation in order to be saved. And so Paul relates about him going up to Jerusalem. We looked at that, chapter 2, verse 1. "Then 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also." And he's referring back to what we looked at last week in chapter 2, or in Acts chapter number 15. Now, the last verse we looked at last week was chapter 2, verse 14. And I really like what is said here. He said, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews. And so what that is saying in chapter 2, verse number 14, Paul is saying to Peter, if you as a born and raised Jew cannot keep the law, and you know you're not able to keep the law, why compel the Gentiles to keep the law, and they're not even Jews? If a Jew can't do it, surely a Gentile is not going to be able to do any better. And so that's the argument or the rebuke that the Apostle Paul gave to Peter. Now, in verse number 15 through verse number 21, he just continues on talking about this same thing, the case for justification by faith without the works of the law. Now, key to understanding what he's talking about, look in verse number 15 when he says, we who are Jews by nature. That's the key to understanding this. Paul said, we who are Jews by nature. What he is talking about there, he is presenting the argument of justification by faith alone from a Jewish standpoint. We who are Jews by nature. Now, that's not us. I don't know of anybody here tonight that's a Jew. Paul speaks from a perspective of being a Jew. We who are Jews by nature. And I'm right. Nobody's born a Jew, right? We might spiritually, but, you know, we're Gentiles. We're Gentiles. Paul is speaking from the standpoint of being a Jew. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now, in our day and time, people would say, well, that's not very nice. Paul is calling people who are not Jews sinners. Well, that's exactly what he's doing. And in the Bible, Gentiles by the Jews many times were referred to as sinners. And so he's making that, they would understand what he's talking about in verse 15 when he says, and not sinners of the Gentiles. He's saying, we who are Jews, we who were born Jews, and not Gentiles, not sinners, like those out there, like the Gentiles out there. So there's the two groups that he's referring to. And he's presenting his argument as a Jew and not a Gentile. And the word Gentile is synonymous with the phrase of sinners. And so look what he says in verse number 16. And verse number 16 is a great verse. And it ought to be underlined in your Bible and put a note out there, justified by faith, not by works. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Look, notice what he said. Even we that are Jews by nature have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, he said in verse number 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. If anybody should know that the law cannot save, it ought to be the Jew. And that's what he's saying. They've tried to be saved by keeping the law, and Paul knows you can't be saved by keeping the law. And so he says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. If anybody could be saved by the works of the law, the Jew should have been able to be been saved by the works of the law, because they were born into it. See, a Jew in Paul's day was born and raised that way. The Gentiles did not have that advantage. The Gentiles were born and raised as sinners, heathens, idolaters. If anything, they may have been introduced to the law, but they were not born into the law. The Jews were born into the law. They were born and raised to keep the law of Moses, to go to the temple, to make a sacrifice, to acknowledge the priesthood and all of those things, to keep the feasts and to keep the law. They were born and raised to do that. The Jews weren't, the Gentiles weren't, but the Jews were. And so Paul, from a Jewish standpoint, is making the case that you cannot be saved by keeping the works of the law.
And that's what he's saying. Knowing, that's worth underlining, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. So verse number 16 is a great verse. Knowing that. This is something that you can know. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. That word man there, it doesn't just mean a man like I'm a man, but it is a word that means all mankind. Knowing that a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a black person, a white person, a Jewish person, a Gentile person, a Spanish person, on and on and you can go. The whole of mankind is not justified by the works of the law. Paul said, knowing that a man, all of mankind, is not justified by the works of the law. And when he's talking here about the works of the law, he's talking about not only the Mosaic law, keeping the Ten Commandments and keeping the Old Testament law, but any system of law. Like I've said many times before, some people say, well, you want to go to heaven, what you got to do? You got to be a good person. That is a type of law keeping. You're good, got to outweigh your bad. That's not how you're justified. It might be a church law of some kind. Somebody might come along and say, well, in order to be saved, you've got to be baptized. You've got to join the church. You know, the Church of Christ, and I've done a lot of studying over the years about the Church of Christ. You know, they're on the radio and have been for years, and some of you have heard them on there, and if you've heard one, you've heard all of them. But they literally teach you not only have to be baptized to be saved, but you have to be baptized by one of their preachers into one of their churches. And if you are not baptized by one of their preachers into one of their churches, you cannot be saved and go to heaven and have your sins washed away. That is teaching salvation by works. That is teaching salvation by a type of keeping a law. And so Paul is saying here that a man is not justified by the works of the law. That means any law. That means secular law, Mosaic law, religious law, church law. You know, if you had to be saved by keeping the Mosaic law, we're going to be in trouble. Because guess what? We don't have a temple. Guess what? Even the Jews today, they don't have a temple. They don't have a priesthood. They don't have an altar. They don't have a sacrifice. If you have to be saved by keeping the law of Moses, then the whole world's in trouble. Because the Mosaic law, as we read it in the Bible, is not in effect. Now, you can still keep you still have the Ten Commandments, but you don't have the Mosaic law. You don't have Judaism like you have it in the Bible. And so if you have to be saved by keeping that, nobody can be saved. It's not in existence today. What if you had to be baptized to be saved, but there was no place to get baptized? What if you were hanging on a cross and getting ready to die? What are you going to do for that fellow? Just be no hope, you know. We find that in the Bible. When Jesus died upon the cross and thieves were on each side, and the one thief repented, and the one thief said to the Lord Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus didn't say, I'm sorry, it's too late, you can't be baptized. No, he didn't say that. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What about the sick person in the hospital that there's no time to go somewhere and join a church, or there's no time in their life left to be a good person in order to get in? We're not saved by keeping any kind of law, man's law, church law, Mosaic law, whatever law you can come up with. Here's a good way to think about it. If you have to have something in order to be saved, if you have to have a baptistry, if you have to have a church organization, if you have to have something external in order to be saved, that would be salvation by some kind of law keeping. If you have to do something in order to be saved, well, I've got to give a certain amount of money, or I've got to go and stand in front. You know, if you have to do something, That is being saved by works. And that flat out contradicts what Paul is saying here in verse number 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's how we're justified, by faith. That's what Paul is saying. We're justified not by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. See what he's saying there? Even we that are Jews have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. How are we saved? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I don't think you can get any plainer or easier to understand than that right there. How are we saved? Not by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul is making that argument here before the Galatians, because remember, they had been taught wrong. They were lapsing back into, well, yeah, we got to do something. We got to keep the law in some way in order to be saved. And Paul is flat out teaching and telling them, that's not how we're saved. We know that. Every religious system in the world says you got to do something. And I've not studied all of them. I'd be lying to say that, but I've taught Kingdom of the Cults. And every time the new edition of that book comes out, they add 100 more pages to it. Next time it comes out, it's going to have to be two different books. It's already 600 pages long. And you study all the different variations of what comes under the umbrella of Christianity. There's a lot of churches out here that call themselves Christian, but they teach, you know, you got to do something. But Christianity teaches it's already been done. You know, I taught through that book, and we've got several of them around here. The name of the book is just simply Done. But that fellow that wrote that book, he's not the first person that come up with that. The Bible teaches that it's already been done. Jesus has already paid the price. He's already paid the penalty. He's already went to the cross. He's already done everything that needs to be done in order for us to be saved. And all that's left for us to do is just believe by faith what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. That's what it means to be saved, to believe with all of our heart in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Christianity is different from every religion in the whole wide world. Even the non-Christian religions teach you have to do something. Islam teaches you have to be a good person. Buddhism teaches you have to be a good person. They all teach you got to do something. But Christianity teaches Christ has already done it all. It's different from anything else, any other religion in the whole wide world. And so verse number 16 is a verse we need to know. We need to know this verse is in the Bible so that we can explain and show to people that it's not by your works you go to heaven. This is a great verse to sit down with somebody and just read to them and say, can you see that? You don't keep the law in order to be saved. It is by faith. And so that's what he's saying in verse number 16. Then verse number 17 is tied in with that. He said, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Now, what's he talking about? We got to go back to verse number 15, this phrase sinners. He's not talking about being a sinner like we talk about being a sinner. He's talking about coming into the same place and being in the same condition as the Gentiles. That's what he's talking about in using that phrase, sinners. So think of it like this. He says in verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. If we who are Jews seek to be justified by Christ, we have to come to the same place that a Gentile is. A Gentile is a sinner. A Jew is a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if we have to forsake our Jewishness and come to a place of being in the same place, the same condition as a Gentile, if we have to forsake our Jewishness, he's saying, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Did he make us sinners? That's what he's saying. And then, of course, the answer to that is, God forbid. If the Jew forsakes the law in order to become saved, if he forsakes his Jewishness, if he says, you know, I'm not saved by keeping the Mosaic law, he's in the same condition as a Gentile. But it does not make Christ the minister of sin. So a lot of the Jews thought that they were righteous already. And in accepting Christ, they were forsaking sort of what they had built up to that point. But if they come to Christ, they had to confess all my good works up to this point. They're not worth anything. That's exactly the place they had to come to. They got to come to the same place as the Gentile. That they acknowledge they have no righteousness. Do you remember in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse number 12, when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees and he said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick? He was talking about them Pharisees. Those Pharisees did not believe that they were spiritually sick. They believed that they were already righteous in their law keeping. They'd have to come to the place of recognizing and acknowledging that they were a sinner in order to be saved. They're not forsaking their righteousness to come to Christ because they didn't have any righteousness to begin with. That's hard for us to understand because we're not Jewish. But people who are religious have the same way of thinking going on. There are people that are religious that do not see their need of being saved because they think they're already good enough. I remember living and ministering among the Mormon people. Mormon people are very hard to win to Christ because they are taught from you know, the cradle that being good, being good, being good. And I remember talking to a man one time, and we was talking about having a ministry and the people in prison and the drug addicts and things like that. And he said, well, they need that. See, he didn't see himself as a Mormon as needing Christ because he's already righteous. But anybody that comes to Christ has got to come the same way. They've got to come knowing that it's not by their good works they're saved, but by trusting in what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done. And Paul's making that argument from a Jewish standpoint in what he is saying there. He's saying the same thing that Peter said back in Acts chapter number 15, verses 10 and 11. Peter said this, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? He's talking about the yoke of the law. He said that our fathers couldn't keep it. We can't keep it. He said, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Peter and Paul both agreed that there's only one way to be saved. We all are saved the same way. We've all got to come as lost. We've all got to come as sinners. We don't come with any righteousness on our own account. It's all because of him. That's what they're both saying there. Verse number 18, he said, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He's saying, if I go back under the law, I'm the one that's a transgressor. I'm the one that's a sinner, not the Lord. And so that's what he's saying in verses 15 down through verse number 18. And so then we come to verse number 19. Look what he says. He says, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, any of the disciples, none of them ever said the law was bad. Paul taught the law was good. But the law is good in this. It is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. What the law teaches both the Jew and the Gentile, the law teaches us that we're sinners. The law teaches us that we break the law. We know. If we're honest, we've broken the law of God. We have lied. We have coveted. We have stolen, even if it was innocent as a child. You know, the first thing I ever stole was before I realized that you had to pay for things. I didn't steal it on purpose. Remember when there's that little store up at Fox Brothers? Well, we stopped in there one day, and I just picked up a thing of candy and carried it out to the vehicle. And when we got out there, Mom said, "Where'd you get that?" I said, "Well, I didn't know I'd stole it." She picked up stuff and carried it out, and so did I. She made me march back in there and give it back and admit that I'd stolen it. But, you know, I didn't do it on purpose, but I still stole. I broke the law. You ever broke the law and you didn't know it? Sure you have. If you didn't know it, did it change anything? Try to explain that to the policeman when you were somewhere and you didn't realize you were in a school zone. And it was 15 miles an hour and you were going 40 miles an hour. Does it matter that you didn't know? No, it don't matter. You broke the law. If you run over a kid and killed a kid, that's why the law is there. People say, "Well, I didn't know." It don't matter. You still broke it. And the law is good in that it brings us to Christ. The law is impossible to keep. James chapter 2 verse 10 said, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." That's what the law teaches. If you break one, you've broken it all. You're as guilty as the one that doesn't try to keep the law, doesn't try to be a good person. You're in the same boat. You're guilty. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." There's a penalty that comes with the law, and that penalty is that we all die. We realize that tonight. The Bible said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We've all broken the law. All except for one person. That's where the good news comes in for us, because other than that one person, we're all in trouble. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all broken the law of God. Jesus never said the law was bad. Jesus said this about the law, Matthew 5:17. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill the law." Now, the law requires justice. We understand that, even from a legal standpoint, or speeding tickets, or somebody that steals something, or somebody that murders somebody. The law requires justice. The law requires a payment many times. The law of God required a sacrifice for sin. It must be satisfied. Sin had to be paid for in all them Old Testament sacrifices. The Jews understood this. But the Lord Jesus came to be the final sacrifice. The Lord Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. He's the only person that ever lived that never broke the law. All the rest of us. That's why the Bible says he was a spotless lamb. He never broke the law. He never sinned in any way whatsoever. He's the only person. Therefore, he fulfilled the law. He also, in his perfect life, when he died upon the cross, he satisfied the law. He satisfied that justice had to be met. Sin had to be paid for. Jesus, in his perfect life, paid for that sin in his death upon the cross. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says in verse number 19, he said, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Every saved person can say that same thing that Paul says in verse number 19. "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Paul says, "I am dead to the law." You and I, if we're saved by the grace of God, we are dead to the law. The law has no more claim on us.
Now, how are we dead to the law? Here's a good way to illustrate that. If a person out here in our day and time,
let's say somebody killed somebody. They murdered them, cold blood. They're caught,
they're tried, they're condemned, they're executed. That's what the law called for. Justice was served, a penalty was paid.
But after that person is taken out and buried, the law has no more claim on them. How come? Because they're dead. They're dead. The law has been satisfied against the sin of that individual, and because they are dead, the law has no more claim upon them. And that is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He is saying in verse number 19, he's saying, I am dead to the law. How can we be dead to the law? Look at verse number 19. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. We are dead to the law not because we paid for our sin, not because of anything we have done, but because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, we have entered into his death, his burial, and thank the Lord, his resurrection. That's why the law has no claim against us, not because of anything we've done, but because of everything he done. If you get a hold of that, that is a great blessing. Paul said, I'm dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Lord Jesus Christ. And God loved us, but he cannot love us into heaven. The only way we can go to heaven, he had to give himself for us. Now that is love. In order for us to go to heaven, Jesus had to die on the cross. That's the only way. It's the only way for us to go to heaven. That's the only way for us to live a Christian life. People say, I'm trying to live the crucified life. You don't try to live the crucified life. Paul didn't say, I'm trying to live the crucified life. He said, I am crucified with Christ. By faith, we are put into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Our life is because of his life. The law has no claim on us because he satisfied the law. And by faith, we've entered into what he did, not anything we've ever done. It's all because of him. People think, well, yeah, it's faith, but I got to do this and I got to do that. That's really an insult to what Jesus did, the price that he paid. It's saying his price wasn't good enough. I got to help God a little bit in getting to heaven. Now, I'm not talking about doing good works because we're saved. I'm talking about people who are trying to do good works in order to be saved. That's two totally different things. And so Paul said, and this is a verse we're very, very familiar with, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Have you ever come to the place in your Christian life where you said, I just can't? Maybe somebody's done you wrong and you say, I just can't forgive them. Maybe you got bitter over something and you said, I just can't get over that. You know, anything. You know what? You can't. You can't forgive. You can't get over. You can't go forward in your life. You and I really in and of ourselves can't do anything without him. Paul said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I. If there's any good thing about you, it's because of him. It's not because of you. Yet not I. See, Paul understood that. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. J. Vernon McGee said it like this. He said, he died for me down here that I might live in him up yonder and that he might live in me down here. If there's any good in us, it's because of what he is doing in us. The goal for our Christian life would be to live by faith, to live our lives controlled by the Spirit of God and filled with the Spirit of God and led by Him into obedience. That would be the goal for our lives. So the life we live now, if it's pleasing to the Lord, it's lived by faith in Him, it's still not by our self-effort. And then, last of all tonight, going over to verse number 21, he says this, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What does he mean there? I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law. If we could be saved by righteousness, then Christ died in vain. That it frustrates the grace of God to say, yeah, we're saved by grace, but if we could be saved by doing any righteous thing, don't you think God would have said, all right, that'll be good enough. My son doesn't have to die now. But we're not saved by righteousness. It took the Lord Jesus Christ. It took God manifest in the flesh to die upon the cross. So, in order that we could be saved. If we could come along now and say, yeah, you can be saved by just being baptized. Then why did Jesus have to die? Wouldn't that mean he died in vain? If you could be saved by joining the church and being a good person, well then why did Jesus have to die on the cross? That's the argument the Apostle Paul was making. If you could be saved by righteousness, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. To come along and tell and preach to people, you are saved by faith, but you got to do this and you got to do that. That is frustrating the grace of God. That is a wrong message to the world. And I know sometimes people probably think we just hammer Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We just wear it out. But that's because it's the truth. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only reason we can be saved is because of everything that Jesus did and nothing that we've ever done. And boy, if we can ever see that, Jesus loved us so much that he died upon the cross. He gave his life so that we could be saved. If we were crossing the street and somebody jumped out and pushed us out of the way and the truck run over and killed them, do you think we'd be grateful for that? Boy, if it hadn't been for that person, I'd be dead. That truck would have run out over me. But how tragic that they lost their life to save me. You know, that's exactly what Jesus did. He gave his life so that you and I could be saved. He never done anything wrong. We're the one that deserved to die, but he gave his life for us. But the good news, he didn't stay dead. He got up on the third day. And he lives today. And he says, all right, now you can be saved. But you got to come by faith. You got to believe I did that for you. That's being saved. Believing with all of our heart what Jesus did upon the cross was enough get us to heaven. Believing by faith, we're justified by faith. So that's what Paul's saying. He's trying to get these Galatians who've come along and started to mix the law back in. He's trying to get them to say, see, we're saved by faith. We're justified by faith without the works of the law. And so he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Jesus didn't have to die. But he did. He did have to die upon the cross. So I appreciate your good attention tonight. We'll, Lord willing, next week get.